Willkommen, welcome to another episode here for the FunkyPod, Mindful Media and Communication. And today we are talking about a topic that's been, I don't know, part of the narrative in the media, the mainstream media, or like in the entertainment media for a week, 2 weeks now or so. And it feels kind of tough to talk about but it's important to talk about because it's about P. Diddy, Sean P. Diddy Combs, formerly known as Puff Daddy when I was young, then just Diddy, then P. Diddy, all those Diddy things. It's tough because P. Diddy seemed to be like one of the last, I don't want to say good guys, but like one of the last few rappers from when I was young that are still around and without too many controversies. I mean, yeah, there were like those rumors that if you cross Diddy, you're gonna get deleted. But I mean, nothing has been proven. But now all those allegations that are coming out, you're like, oh, Diddy. And so let's talk about it. Let's talk about how the media is, of course, jumping on that. And I'm not defending Diddy, by the way. If any of those allegations are true, which allegedly, I learned from Joe Rogan that you always have to say allegedly now. If any of those allegations are true, then F him, obviously, right? But I want to look into like how the media jumps on that, of course, and maybe also a little bit of like how Diddy or Diddy's team are handling the situation. But that's going to be a very short segment of the show because they're not handling anything. So let's jump into what's happening with Sean P. Diddy Combs with Bad Boy for Life. And every time I say the name Diddy, like all the songs that I love that are on my playlist are playing in my head. And it's just so sad that it's come to this, P. Diddy. Okay, let's jump into it. No more beating around the bush. Let's do it. We have to talk about it. We have to get through this together. Let's do it. So yeah, accusations are, I think, and I noted some down to like not miss them, but I think sexual misconduct, sexual trafficking are the main ones, I think. Then embezzlement or whatever that's called, again, allegedly. So there are lots of charges, I think, or accusations. English is not my first language, and I'm not a native speaker. So if there's something wrong there, don't sue me. Just blame me being not a native speaker. Okay. So the narrative surrounding Diddy right now, though, is pretty complex, or has become even more complex, like of legal dynamics, of social media dynamics, and like just general media dynamics, I think, like not just social media, right? So I'm going to try to dissect this through the lens of like media theories, as I usually do here on the podcast. So let's try, and you see I'm getting sad if you're watching this, let's try to uncover what lies beneath the surface. And yeah, that's a pun / reference to the apparent tunnel under his pool that led to the grotto. Oh my God. So let's jump into it. One of the theories I talk about all the freaking time when I do this podcast, I do it this time too, just to make sure that we all understand the theory, and we understand that this theory really applies to basically every media product text that you're consuming. Yeah. News, podcasts, whatever, everybody's using the theory. If like intentionally, like I'm going to use the theory, or unintentionally, just doing it, because even if you don't know the name of the theory, you still know that doing it actually will help you to reach masses and make the masses think in a way that's beneficial to you. What do I mean? Cultivation theory, right? The cultivation theory basically talks about, as you know by now, how the media plays a role in shaping our reality. So cultivation theory suggests that prolonged exposure to media shapes our perception of reality. In the case of P. Diddy now, I mean, he's been in the spotlight for decades, right? He's been in the spotlight since I was a teenager. He's been there, right? P. Diddy, and together with Notorious B.I.G., rest in peace. Biggie, can't you see? Still playing, is on my playlist like almost every day. I open this podcast, if you listen to the beginning and the end, I open and close it with a Notorious B.I.G. song. So you see how much I'm influenced by Notorious B.I.G., Bad Boy Records, P. Diddy and all those things. So Sad Day. So in this case, Cultivation Theory, in this case, in the spotlight for decades. And the spotlight for decades, like being there everywhere, this has crafted this larger-than-life persona. Everybody knows Diddy, right? It's like, oh my God, he's the godfather of rap. He owns Bad Boy Records and so on. So everybody has this, wow, that's the godfather image of Diddy, except 50 Cent, of course. So then the question is, how does this image of like the godfather of rap, how does this image influence public reaction to those allegations against him, right? So in order to do this, you got to explore like how media narratives around celebrity behavior, for example, and legal troubles, how this can alter the norms, expectations, and probably also desensitize the audience to serious allegation or conversely amplifying outcry. What I mean by that is you've seen Diddy for 20 years in the media, right? Or if you're younger, you've seen Diddy since you started to consume media, Diddy was always there, right? And so you have like this image of like, this is the guy, he's always there. And then if allegations come out against the person that's always been there, that you think like, is that's the godfather, he's so famous and so on, you think immediately, nah, this can't be true. Nah, the person that brings the allegations about must be lying. They just do it for the money, for the fame or whatever. So immediately, because we know the persona that we've seen over years and years in the media, we think we know them. So we're like shifting into defensive mode. If we like that persona. If you don't like that persona, we're like, yeah, it's this persona, right? So either way, it influences the way we think about that person in the media. Okay, so that's part of the cultivation theory. And it also means that, you know, when I talk about desensitizing, if allegations are brought about against like a famous person, usually what happens is that the audience will downplay the allegations. If the allegations of sexual trafficking, abuse, misconduct, whatever, would be brought against like your neighbor, you would be like, yeah, what the? Yeah, he should go to jail. If it's with like Diddy, Vince McMahon, and so on, you're like, ah, they just had fun, or like they just overstepped the boundaries a little, or those people knew what they were doing, right? We're trying to explain it away. And that's also based on the cultivation theory, based on the persona that we've been seeing over years and decades in the media. All right, so that's a cultivation theory at play here. Now, you also know, if you follow my podcast, that my favorite theory to discuss, because it's barely been discussed in any other format I've seen, well, I have yet to see, the spiral of silence. I talk about it a lot. So if you really follow the podcast, which I appreciate, thank you for liking, sharing, and subscribing. You might be like, oh, not again. But if you look at like other media outlets, no one's talking about it. Okay, I keep it short this time. But the spiral of silence basically highlights how fear of isolation can silence dissenting voices. In particular, like in this case, against powerful figures. So Diddy's influence in the entertainment industry is huge, of course, right? So this then poses a question. Are voices being silenced? Because his influence is so big that you have to assume that there are lots of people who don't want to speak out against Diddy. Like, I mean, he brought up like Usher, Justin Bieber, right? Those are the names that are floating around in the media right now, and many others. So you would wonder, are people who know something or who think they know something or think they heard something not speaking out because they are scared of a Diddy or of like the people around Diddy, that they just drown out their voices? Okay. So this power dynamics of silence is way more, for lack of better terms now, powerful. And I was redundant now, but it's powerful, right? Because I don't have to tell you to shut up, for lack of better terms. You will be quiet all by yourself because there are so many voices supporting Diddy. For example, like, nah, he wouldn't do that. That you think like, okay, maybe I'm not going to say what I have to say or what I think I should say. Oh, okay, I guess, well, I'm not saying anything. Yeah, the spiral of silence. And then it spirals down, of course, right? And if you're quiet, others are quiet too. And then if no one speaks out, it's not going to go away now, but yeah, less people speaking out. It's like with all those famous cases, like the Bill Cosby case back then, like a few years ago, for example, as well, right? In the beginning, nobody would speak out because one person thinks, did this really happen to me? No one's going to believe me. They all love him. And then you don't speak out, right? Same thing might happen now. Who knows? Allegedly. But it could be at play, okay? The spiral of silence theory. The go-to theory when it comes to media studies, analysis, and so on, as you probably know, because you're a fan of the podcast, thank you very much, using gratification, right? Using gratification, public engagement with celebrity scandals, we love it. The audience loves it. Like, why does the public always gravitate towards like celebrity scandals? Using gratification suggests that we seek media that satisfies specific needs, from escapism, maybe even to personal identity, right? Escapism means like you want to escape your daily routine, things that happen in your daily life. You it's boring. You want to break out. That's escapism. So then we gravitate towards celebrity stuff and celebrity drama in particular. And personal identity also, yeah? You're not happy with where you're at right now. So you want to identify with the Kardashians. That shows my age. Diddy. That shows my age too. But you see what I'm saying, right? So if you dissect the audience engagement with these allegations, you can understand like what drives the public's fascination with celebrity legal dramas, okay? And how of course, also the engagement of the audience with the drama impacts the narrative. Because if there's lots of engagement from the audience, then that also impacts the amount of airtime this gets. And how it's been framed in different media outlets. So if, as an example, we would consume now all the Diddy news, but we would be like pro-Diddy for whatever reason. We make up something like, no, we don't believe anything, blah, blah. Then the outlets that we frequent would realize that they would produce more Diddy content, but more like five reasons why Diddy didn't do what was being alleged, for example. On the other hand, if we identify with the victims, then the media outlets would be like, okay, lots of people, and I think that's what's happening, consume the Diddy content, they're interacting with it, they identify with the victims, so let's create more content from the victim's point of view or that highlights the victims, which is, of course, also deservedly so, okay? Just trying to make a point in terms of use and gratification. So that's how audience engagement will impact the media narrative. Okay. One more that I talked about, and then I'm going to add a few new ones, is symbolic interactionism. And we talked about this before as well. When it comes to symbolic interactionism, it's about like constructing and contesting. I think, I can say constructing and contesting like public personas. Yeah, so if we put on the lens of symbolic interactionism, we can see how Diddy's public persona is both constructed by the media, like who he is, his record label, all those things, but also then contested by the public. And so if you use this theory, we can explore the interplay between media representation and public perception. Is it the same? Is it not the same? And it is self-presentation amidst all those legal troubles, those allegations, also plays a role here. Like if he just hangs out and like throws up the peace sign in an Instagram reel or something like this, or what surfaced last week, right? That also plays into how the public perceives him, of course. So those interactions, they will influence the public's understanding of Diddy's character, and hence also the credibility of the allegations. Yeah, the public opinion is a very powerful tool. You can influence it, you can utilize it. That's why I said in the beginning, we might look into how Diddy and his team are handling the situation. I said, they're not handling it, right? So I haven't seen anything. Like his communication style, there hasn't been anything He probably denied everything. I'm not sure if there's an official statement, but like when those allegations come out and then a few days later, you're with one of the guys that's also been mentioned in those allegations and you throw up the peace and you're like, yeah, hey, we're partying. That's probably not the best look in the public's eye. Yeah, you're facing this allegation and you go out chilling, hanging out, having a good time. That might look you even worse in the public perception. Okay, so that's symbolic interactionism. Like, yeah, symbolic, the symbols that you use, that you do, like it symbolizes something, right? The way you act symbolizes something. And this symbolizing influences the way the audience sees you. So we not only believe what the media shows us of you, yeah, we believe more of like into like this symbolism of like, how do you behave? What do you do? And the like. And the media comes along with it, right? If they see Diddy partying, they of course will cover this more and will send more people, journalists, reporters, whatever out there to cover and create more content of that or in that manner. So that's symbolic interactionism. Now, as I said, I have, I think, three theories that I don't talk about as much, but I think they fit very well into this very example of P. Diddy. Okay. One of them is, and we had it one time only on this podcast so far, so I'm going to slow down a little bit, political economy of the media. Okay. So we're going to talk about influences on coverage and media discourse, basically. Now, this theory, political economy of the media, that tries to shed a light on the economic and power structures that influence media production. So you would, in this case, you would try to delve into how the entertainment industry and the dynamics in the media industry affect the coverage of these legal issues. So you'd look into like corporate interests, for example, like are corporations, media corporations, interested in covering the Diddy case? Which corporations are interested? Which are not? Does Bad Boy, for example, Bad Boy Records, Diddy's record label, do they have any connections to other media outlets? Are there investors? Are there board of directors on Bad Boy and on CNN, for example? So I'm just making this up, right, just to showcase what this political economy of the media means. So you would look into who's involved in which company. Do those companies have any interest in covering it? Do they have interest in hiding it? Do they have interest in like using different kinds of framing theories? You know that when they cover those allegations. So what's the background? That's also one thing you should always be asking when you consume media. Like, why do they present it the way they do? Are there political or economical motives behind why this media outlet is covering this story the way it is? Okay. So that's a very, very important thing to always ask yourself. You don't always talk about it, but it's something you should always keep in mind. Like, why do they do it right now? There must be a reason. They must have an agenda. And the agenda setting probably stems from political or economical interests. So always ask the question, who is involved? Why are they doing this right now? And as I said earlier, P. Diddy is such a big figure in the media industry. You can be sure he's not only involved in his Bad Boy record label. He's involved in many, many, many other ventures. And so it really seems to be important to look into, like, how does his involvement look like? Where there are crossovers? Who's interested in showcasing which part of the story? Okay, now that's political economy of the media. Okay. Two more that I wrote down that I wanted to talk about before I wrap things up. One that we didn't talk about yet on the podcast, but it's actually also very interesting and shows very well also in this case, I think. It's called intermediality. Okay, intermediality. One word, intermediality. So this theory illustrates simply how various media forms, how they intersect, right? Different media forms, they come together, they intersect to create like a nuanced narrative, like a detailed narrative that shows like depth, detail, different angles. So that could be from social media to traditional news, right? As you know, the medium is the message, right? Marshall McLuhan famously said the medium is the message, meaning that depending on the media channel that we are consuming the content on, we understand it differently. And then we also have transmedia storytelling, which tells us that different media outlets have different strengths, and you don't produce or publish the same content on every channel. You use the channel-specific strengths to produce content that plays to those strengths and then creates an overarching narrative. And that's transmedia storytelling. Maybe we should have an episode on that as well. So intermediality then basically tells us, okay, we're using transmedia storytelling, for example. The medium is a message. We're using this to then create like this nuanced story. We're using social media, for example, to be more detailed because you have lots of space and time. You don't have restrictions on social media when it comes to time, space, design, and whatnot. So you can go into lots of detail, while on TV, in the news, you only have like 1, 3, 5 minutes or whatever to talk about a certain situation, right? So then headlines all on TV, and then the details maybe, for example, on social media, and that's how you then weave like this very nuanced story. And then in social media, you would try to use different platforms to then also enhance the storytelling, of course, okay? So that's intermediality. New theory, first on this podcast. Remember it, pop quiz next week. Intermediality, all right? Okay, the last one I wanted to talk about is performance theory. And performance theory talks about the strategic management of the public image. You see my excitement. What does it mean? So performance theory basically offers a perspective on how Diddy and those around him, how they navigate their public persona. So that's what I said in the beginning. We're going to look at how Diddy and his team are handling the situation. And so how do they handle everything in response to those allegations? So each public statement, each legal maneuver, for example, each media appearance is performance aimed at shaping the public perception. Now, that video I mentioned earlier where he goes like, hey, not sure if it was well planned by his PR team. However, I do think in his mind, he wanted to showcase, I'm fine, I'm cool, nothing can touch me. That's why he did it. If there was a smart move on the PR team or on Diddy's side of things, not sure, because it could influence the perception of the public, as I mentioned earlier, in a negative way. I understand why he did it, though. He didn't want to look guilty. Say, I'm out there, I'm having fun, yo, everything is fine. If it really worked, I'm not sure. Okay, so that's then where the performance theory comes into play. So you would analyze strategic performances, hence the name, by those parties involved, and how then those performances impact the media narrative. So far, what I'm aware of is denial of allegations by the Diddy team, which is the normal procedure. If there are allegations against someone, they always deny it via their lawyer / PR, and then that's it. And then the only thing else I saw from Diddy was him waiting outside the airport in Miami, I think it was. And then this, yo, 10, those, I don't know, 3 seconds on an Instagram reel or whatever it was. Performance-wise, that wasn't great. Him looking desperate outside the airport, even though it was a paparazzi shot, but you know that paparazzi are out to get you. Like, I mean, you're so famous, you know that. And then secondly, that yo video, like I said a few seconds ago, in his mind, probably because he wants to perform and say, hey, I'm fine, no one can touch me, I'm okay. From public perception, might look like he's not taking it serious and he's just out there, doesn't care and whatnot. So that's the performance theory, and it influences the media narrative. Okay, now I'm going to bring it all together because I'm sad enough now after almost 25 minutes talking about P. Diddy. Without too many song references, I really try to keep it down because I know my audience is a little bit younger than myself. So if I start dropping all those 90s and 2000 references from P. Diddy songs, you're like, what is this? it's still all in my head, though. Also, if you wake up in the morning and you feel like P. Diddy, that kind of changed meaning right now, didn't it? Whew, poor Keisha. But hey, let's bring it back together. You've seen that now, in this case, there are lots of media theories involved, like actively, maybe even passively. Maybe people don't think about it, even though I hope media outlets and creators working for media outlets do think about it, because I hope they have a media background. But you see how behavior influences media consumption, the media narrative, how we perceive like certain personas, and so on. So that's why it's so important to understand that. Yeah, at some point, you might be in a spot, hopefully not in a Diddy spot where you have to fight allegations, but where you're in the spotlight and where people want to know stuff about you. And then it's important to understand, how does the media work? Why do we see things we see right now in the media? Who's involved? Who benefits from it? Why are they framing it in a certain way? And that's why we break down those news, those current developments each and every week, twice a week actually, to make sure that you understand that you keep up the critical thinking or become more of critical thinkers when you consume the media. Don't just believe anything unless it's from me. And yeah, now I'm going to finish things off here and going to go cry because I do miss those P. Diddy songs. Can we still listen to it? That's the same question with Michael Jackson songs or R. Kelly. They had bangers. Can we still listen? Let me know. Let me know in the comments. Let me know in the poll. Can we still listen to Diddy songs, Michael Jackson songs, R. Kelly songs, or is it all canceled now? We ain't gonna stop now. Or maybe we are. There was another P. Diddy reference. I'm leaving this now. Until then, stay safe, take care. Like, share, subscribe, obviously. Leave a review for the podcast. It would be fantastic to reach a wider audience that we can discuss more topics such as Diddy allegations and the like. I hope the next one will be less sad, at least for me. Until then, stay safe, take care. Sawadee krap.